Oh, I love the sound of that, because that means the next few minutes are going to be spent with Laureen Gilbert, WealthWise Financial CEO and President. And this is the WealthWise moment. It's been a couple of weeks, but delighted to have her on. Laureen, thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you, Ed, and great to have you back as well.
Thank you.
Good to be back and good to have you back.
Thank you. And we could not have picked a better day to have you on. The day after an important national election, where last night as I'm watching the results come in, I'm thinking this has to be the election that Wall Street feared the most. Am I crazy there?
Well, so what I will say is we don't have an answer, right? And so, unfortunately, even with all of us staying up half the night, we didn't end up with an answer as far as who's going to be the president of the United States. What is clear, though, is that it looks like we're going to maintain a divided legislature, meaning, right, you know, the Democrats continue to control the House, and the Republicans continue to control the Senate. And what that means for investors is that we won't have a runaway on any legislation that takes us too far in either direction. So let's just talk stimulus.
Okay.
We know that we couldn't get stimulus before the election, but we also knew that after the election, we would get stimulus. If it holds that we've got a split government, as it were, is what we call it, or divided government,
right,
we'll get a reasonable stimulus package, more probably in the $1 to $2 trillion versus, you know, $2 to $3 trillion,
right?
And so what does that mean for investors? That means that, without excess money flooding into the system, but enough money to kind of keep us going, that should actually bode well for a lot of things, just to get our economy. We needed that to keep our economy continuing to hum, but not so much that it means that down the road, the concern, of course, is that we're going to have very high inflation numbers later.
Right.
So what you've seen even today that you may have noticed is that the 10-year Treasury yield has actually come down a little bit. It was starting to steepen quite a bit. And we do think we're still on a trend for a steepening yield curve. But what I'm saying there is that with that kind of calming down is around this idea of stimulus.
Okay. Now, you mentioned stimulus and the difference between a $1 to $2 trillion to a $2 to $3 trillion number. The more you would spend on the stimulus, the more likely that would weaken the dollar a little bit. And as we know that really since 2017, the dollar hasn't been doing really well against the British pound or the Japanese yen. Is that a magic number, that $1 to $2 trillion, and we shouldn't go beyond that, is what you're saying?
Well, let's talk about the dollar. Dollar trends tend to be long-term trends, 7 years or so in a trend.
Okay.
And so we started that trend earlier this year, which we, by the way, expected. We expected to see the dollar starting to weaken. It's not necessarily a bad thing, because then that means, for us globally, that can be good as well. So with that, what is the play with the weakening dollar for investors? For investors, that means international investing can be attractive, because then you get two plays on international investing. One, the valuations have been lower than the U.S. valuations on the market. And second, you get a currency tailwind on that. So a weakening dollar is not necessarily a bad thing. And like I said, they tend to be long-term trends. So, and then I think you had a question around, what was the question that you were asking?
Well, I was going to ask, is the $1 to $2 trillion, as you mentioned earlier, is that the sweet spot?
I think it is. I think that's where we're going to land. And with stimulus, let's bring in the big difference. The big difference in those stimulus packages really was around the states. How much money goes to the states? And here's the reality. One way or another, those states have to be bailed out. And the question is, will the federal government bail them out in the form of a federal stimulus package? Or will the states have to raise revenue by increasing taxation. And back to the implication for investors. For investors, in either scenario, it means that municipal bonds look really favorable. Okay. Because whether it is that the states increase their taxation, it makes munis more interesting, or there's more stimulus there. And once again, municipal bonds would be a good haven for people. I would say that investors who want should be, what we're seeing is a shift away from treasuries into municipals. Those are considered two kind of conservative plays on the bond side. So for investors looking to keep things in the more conservative, moving away from treasuries and into municipal bonds.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about the election results for a second and what that could mean for investors in the next couple of weeks here. Let's say that let's say that Pennsylvania is the sticking point over the next several days, maybe even in the next week or two. And what does that turmoil, what does that mean for investors?
Well, what I've been saying is that after the election, we would start to see a more stable market. And what I mean by that is there was a lot of angst and uncertainty around the election. And, you know, that's going to carry over till we get things kind of straightened out. But let me give you some statistics. November, in an election year, November is the best month of the year for the S&P 500 with an average return of 1.5%. In an election year, November is the number one month. December is the third best month. And so what I've been saying is that we see a year-end rally once we see more certainty with the election, either way, really either way, we see a year-end rally. So investors should be thinking about that. And what I'll say about that, I've been warning people that cash is not a good play. And I felt like there was more risk to be out of the market than in the market. And, you know, today the market's up. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I would say that investors should be looking at their year-end strategy. And those months tend to be very good months.
Excellent. Thank you for that. I never knew November and December were so great. 1 and 3. What's two? What's the second best month?
Oh, gosh. Now, I'm not sure. I'll have to look that up.
There'll be a quiz.
I'll look that up for next week.
There'll be a quiz on Friday. Bring a number two pencil and a clean sheet of paper. So last week, we got our third quarter economic report, and we saw a jump of about 30%. Was that rise so dramatic because the last quarter, the second quarter, the drop was equally dramatic?
Yeah, so it was 33.1%, which was fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no downplaying how great that was. Now, even with 33%, it didn't bring us into positive territory year to date because we'd seen such declines before. And we'd have to get up to more like 46% in order to start seeing, you know, more positive GDP numbers. But yes, it illustrates that the economy was coming back in a strong way. And not only our GDP numbers, but all the numbers that we're seeing, we just saw the ISM numbers, once again, a manufacturing well beat expectations at 59, beating expectations. And even services today didn't beat expectations, but still at 56, very positive number. Anything over 50 means that it's expansionary. When we look at personal savings have gone up, personal spending has gone up. So we continue to see great economic data, which says that everyone's trying really hard to get this economy back going, even with lockdowns, even with all the things that we've had to do and made the sacrifices that we've made. The consumer has continued to be strong, continued to spend.
Okay. Regarding the presidential election, no matter who wins, how important is it to keep Chairman Powell in that position for, you know, it's up in mid of 2022, June of 2022. How important would it be to keep him in that position if you want to keep rates lower for longer?
Yeah, I think, the Fed is such an important position, and it is, you know, no one really knows unless you're in it with them exactly all the things that they're having to do and all the things that they're having to look at. It's a complicated system. So having that experience is critical coming out of the coronavirus situation. And typically, you know, let's say if Biden becomes president, I think the question is, will he keep Powell in his position? I think he will, because he's had that experience until that time when he can then appoint somebody of his own liking and get somebody embedded into that system that he feels confident with. But yeah, Powell has done a very good job. And, you know, Powell has been the one really clamoring, saying, you know, Congress needs to do something. You know, at the Fed, we can only do so much and we need legislation passed. So he's been great in saying, here's what we can do, here's what we can't do, and here's what needs to happen. And he's been saying, you know, we need another stimulus package, which I think we all know.
Right. So his term ends, let's say, June of 2022. Are you thinking that we'll be still climbing out of a recession then, summer of 2022?
I think we're already in recovery. I think we're in recovery right now. So, you know, I think we're going to continue to see good GDP numbers, not 33.1. You know, that was just coming out of the decline. But I think, you know, and if you look at analyst expectations, we're looking at positive numbers going forward, which all speaks to that we're already in recovery.
Okay. And let me ask you now a pandemic question. With it mm-hmm. still raging and a third spike just weeks away, can these positive numbers that we're talking about lull us into this false sense of economic security?
Well, I don't think anybody feels like they're, you know, lulled right now, because, you know, everybody is nervous about a lot of things, right? People are still nervous about their health. They're still nervous about their own financial situation. Many people are worried about their jobs or not having jobs. So no, I don't think anybody's taking it lightly. I think that the reality is we've got an uneven recovery in the way, and certain areas of the market that are still going to lag, like, you know, no surprise, airlines, entertainment, all those areas of the market. And of course, the small business owners in areas like restaurants, they're really hurting. So across the board, there's still a lot of pain, but that doesn't negate the fact that we are in a recovery on the economic front. And what I hear from people is people want to work. People want to get back to working and getting into their normal routine and being productive. And I think that's what we all want. We want us to go back to being able to be productive.
Right. Right. I think we want to do it safely, because as I mentioned, the numbers are spiking. We can't neglect the fact that the virus is still there. The numbers are still spiking, and there is the opportunity for us to get a little lazy and for us to be in the same situation that we were in April through June again. So I was wondering what that would do economically, but all right.
Yeah. I think we just have to, you know, just like all this, we got to just push through it. Just continue to push through it, push through it. And with that, you know, I'd say with the election, we've just got to be patient and push through that too.
Beautiful. WealthWise Financial Services, how do we get in touch with you?
WealthWiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
I can't tell you how much I miss talking to you these last couple of weeks, Lorene.
Well, thank you. Great to be here.
It was fantastic having you. We will look forward to talking again next Wednesday. This is Lorene Gilbert with her WealthWise Moment, WealthWise Financial Services. If you missed that email address or the phone number, you can text or call me here. I'll be glad to give it to you. Lorene, thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.